We're not going to be here at 9 o'clock.
All right, we will call this meeting to order. This is the May 18th meeting of the Transportation Finance Conference Committee, House File 1444. Reading the date out loud reminds me it's my sister's birthday. I better give her a call. So, or else I'll be a bad brother. So, welcome everyone. We're starting at 5:35, which is like early for Senate time. So, so thanks very much. So, members and those gathered probably read the news. Decisions have been made at the highest levels about what exactly we are going to, what the big show is actually going to look like. And so, Chair Hornstein, I thought we would just kind of start off by describing, as it were, the in high level detail, in high level, not in detail, kind of the governor and the speaker and the majority leader would like us to pass out of this committee. And then we can decide if this is what the committee wants to pass, I guess. But I suspect this is the rough outlines of what the finance package for transportation will look like this year. Short version is their agreement that they came to was no transit sales tax. However, there would be no operating reduction for the Met Council. Forecasted base funding would be maintained, so the $46 million transfer out of the Met Council to the general fund would not occur, recognizing that base funding is insufficient for the Met Council because of operating shortfalls for the state share of the Central Corridor and Hiawatha LRT. Of $18 million, $6 million in 14, 12, and 15. So that would be made available. We know, of course, what happened with the bonding bill yesterday on the floor of the House. It didn't pass. Absent metropolitan area sales tax, new resources, which would have picked up that capital effort on behalf of Southwest as well as a number of other transit ways. There's a need to continue to maintain progress and maintain our posture with respect to the feds and qualify for those federal dollars, especially now that we're in preliminary engineering. So $37 million in cash be made available for a Southwest Corridor capital needs. On the road side, a proposal for $300 million in bonding from trunk highway bonds, for corridors of commerce, and then some other miscellaneous items, and we can go through that when we present. We prepared a Senate offer. We can go through some of those detailed items, but some general fund spending for miscellaneous items that relate to public safety, some transportation initiatives, et cetera. Ideally, that would come to about another $5.5 million in general fund spending. Right now, we've only identified $4 million, and I know that folks are working on seeing if we can't increase that to $5.5 million, so we don't have to give a little haircut to stuff that's we've already nicked quite a bit. And then there are all the kind of the items kind of inside the special revenue funds, the trunk highway fund, and that sort of thing. We can go through those, some of the governor's initiatives and a couple of other things, and we go through that in a more detailed Senate offer. If that makes sense. So that's kind of the high level. Not a happy day. We've worked really, really hard on, doing far better. We brought a much, much more significant proposal, at least on the Senate side. And I know the desire of the House side and everyone who's a member of this conference committee wanting to do more and better in way of investing. But I think what we're looking at is the prospect of building a multi-year movement around making the case and building the case for change in the political space to do better than we're able to do this year. So we call this, we don't call this lights on, we call this lights on plus. Because there is a little bit of advance. We keep Southwest Corridor moving. Lights on was actually moving backwards. Oh, excuse me, I missed an item. We're also finding some additional funds for through that motor vehicle lease tax mechanism for Greater Minnesota Transit as well. So with that, that's kind of in large description, kind of the leadership deal that we're presented with in this conference committee, and our offer kind of conforms to that. I can respond to questions now, or we can have staff help us walk through the Senate offer. Yeah, why don't you go ahead and pass that out. Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just was wondering if there's anywhere we can get in there or look at the promises that we've been made.
Look at the promises we've been made?
Yeah. I mean, is there any way we can put those into the bill?
Yeah, well, promises that we've been made. Maybe we should do a YouTube video and set it to music. You know, kind of a heartbreaking, romantic music. Should we walk through?
Mr. Chairman, first of all,
thank you.
I want to thank the Senate staff and especially Senator Dibble for working on this today. I was for a few hours.
Pitched
in. And I appreciate that. And so I hope that we can just go through this amendment and or offer, and then we'll be able to respond. And then,
thanks. And we also need to hear from on high whether or not we're going to have enough space to kind of restore the hair that we cut in some of these items to meet our target. Our new target is $59 million members, and need a little bit north of $60 million. Ms. Berezovsky or Ms. Boyd, do you want to walk us through the term sheet or the offer sheet?
Okay, Mr. Chair, if I have it. Oh, there it is. Mr. Chair and members, the offer is to accept all sections with base funding that are identical in the House and Senate. And then we have a number of change items. First is under airport development. Both House and Senate had the $650,000 annual cut from the state airports fund in 14 and 15. This was a governor's rec. There is one difference between the House and Senate, and that is in the rider language. The House has that the appropriation is available until expended, and the Senate has available for 5 years after appropriation. The 5 years after appropriation is the typical language, and this is what the Senate is recommending. The next change is in the aviation support. This includes what we've talked about this previously, the $263,000 a year annual shift in the Trunk Highway Fund from state rail planning and delivery. This was only in the Senate side, and this was a governor's rec as well.
And this was to pay for use of the state airplane.
That's my understanding, Mr. Chair, yes. This, Mr. Chair, this was a transfer that MnDOT has been making under transfer authority for the last several years, and it's just asking for it to be made a permanent base change. The next changes are in Greater Minnesota Transit. The Senate recommends base funding plus $100,000 starting in fiscal year 15 and then ongoing for ongoing administrative costs of the Minnesota Council on Transportation Access. This was in both the House and Senate language. And then the Senate had a provision which was at $90,000 a year originally. The current offer to meet target is $78,000 a year to pay for costs of rides for veterans certified as disabled.
So, Representative Hornstein, this is an area that we nicked a little bit to meet our target.
Okay.
The next item is safe routes to school. Both the House and Senate language had grants, general fund grants for this purpose. The House appropriation is taken to meet target. That's $250,000 each year ongoing. And the Senate recommends the House rider language designating what the appropriations to be used for. It's just a little more specific.
So, Representative Hornstein, again, something that we nicked at least in the Senate proposal to meet our target.
The next item is under MnDOT's freight appropriation. The Senate recommends base funding plus $500,000 one time in fiscal year 14 for state rail bank cleanup of contaminated rail bank property. House and Senate both had this governor's rec in the initial versions, but it was at $1 million. That, again, took a cut to meet target.
And Representative Hornstein, this is the Page and Hill site?
Yes, Coochaching County.
Coochaching County. We just like saying that.
And the next item is under State Road Operations and Maintenance. Again, base funding plus $5 million added to base annually from Trunk Highway for increased commodities costs under Operations and Maintenance. This was a governor's rec, and the House and Senate both had this identically. State Roads Planning and Delivery, base funding, plus $250,000 annually for the Joint Office on Public-Private Partnerships. That was in Senate side only. There's a second item. I'm not sure if it's crossed out on your list. It is on mine. But originally, we had recommended in the Senate side this $110,000 annually from Trunk Highway for a hiring and recruitment specialist related to hiring and recruitment language later in the bill related to projects. That language has been made permissive. And according to MnDOT, that appropriation would no longer be necessary.
All right, we'll strike that.
Next is State Road Construction. Again, base funding plus a number of additional items. The additional money under the economic recovery funds from the feds, that's $1 million each year, extending into $1 million in 2016. The House and Senate both had that, and that's the governor's recommendation. There's additional MAP 21 money that I don't have in front of me, but it's several hundred million dollars, and $263 million for the biennium. That's, again, a governor's rec, and the House and Senate both have that provision. The House and Senate both had the next governor's rec as well, which is a one-time Trunk Highway Fund appropriation in 2014 of $95 million. That was for several purposes, better roads, the SIMS program, and some ADA compliance work. Then also the House, or the Senate, is recommending $10 million in Trunk Highway Fund annually for the TED program. The House had TED money, but it had it split $5 million each from General Fund and Trunk Highway. And that concludes MnDOT's changes. Next, we have Met Council. The recommendation is base funding plus, as you mentioned, Mr. Chair, there's a $37 million one-time general fund appropriation in 2014 available until expended for Southwest Light Rail. And also $18 million in fiscal year 14 and 15. That'd be $6 million in fiscal year 14 and $12 million in 15 to make up some deficit funding for operations for Hiawatha and Central Corridor. And then that would be ongoing at a slightly smaller level, about $11.7 million a year thereafter added to their base. And moving on to Department of Public Safety, we already adopted some provisions, so these are what is remaining. Under administration, there was a shift of $149,000 general fund among some admin programs, Office of Communications, Public Safety Support, and Technology Services. This is a net zero fiscal impact. This was a governor's rec, just changing some of the base numbers. And that was in the Senate only. Soft body armor. House and Senate had the same appropriations, which were $92,000 annual general fund increase and $100,000 annual trunk highway appropriation. That would be a new appropriation. Previously, all the soft body armor appropriation was from the general fund. This was a governor's rec, and the House and Senate had the same amounts. And State Patrol base funding is recommended, plus $1 million trunk highway fund increased appropriation for additional fuel costs that the department needs. So that was a governor's rec, and the House and Senate both had identical figures there. Capital Security base funding plus $1.25 million annual increase ongoing from the general fund to implement the recommendations of the Advisory Task Force on Capital Security. The House and Senate both had the recommendation, but at $1.5 million a year. Again, this was a cut to meet target at $1.25.
So, Representative Hornstein, another one of those nicks that we made. We're trying to get to $3 million for this item as recommended by the task force, but needed to balance within our target.
And I didn't write it down here, but I believe the Senate is recommending the Senate language under the rider language under that for the uses of the funds. And then these are, the third from the last is $300 million in additional trunk highway bonding, effective in fiscal year 15, designated for corridors of commerce.
Mr. Chairman.
Mm-hmm. Representative Horson.
On that, I think that there's an 85-15 split in terms of the corridor? Is it 100% for corridors of commerce?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hornstein, I believe it's 100% corridors of commerce.
Did we have in the initial bill or your bill with the gas tax, was there a split though on that? Okay.
Representative Harrington, yes. It was 85-15? Yeah. But that was with new resources, of course.
Okay. So, all right. Well, that might be something we might want to revisit. So.
I see you two.
Representative Bernard.
I think you guys have you have a kind of synergy with each other, and you know what you're talking about. Can you tell me what the 85% was for and the 15% was for?
Thanks, Representative Bernardi. So within the state road construction program, mm-hmm. you know, dollars that are appropriated out of the Trunk Highway Fund, you know, kind of the 62% that flows into the highway user tax distribution, yep. 62% goes into the Trunk Highway Fund, and within that there's the state road construction program. And when we were actually raising additional resources through the gas tax proposal, our proposal was that 85% of those new dollars be devoted within the Trunk Highway Fund, SRC, be devoted to the Corridors of Commerce program, and 50% of those be devoted to just the regular state road construction program.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair and members, the next item was in the Senate's original language. There's a slight change to it. This was a change to allocation of leasing sales tax and was holding the Metro County portion to $9 million a year, and the remaining amount that would have gone to counties would go to Greater Minnesota Transit. This includes that language but limits it to 14-15. It's just a one-time transfer, and it equals $10.8 million for the biennium. And then the last is a correction that was in the public safety bill. I believe this item is also in the corrections bill, but was recommended to be also in this bill. And if anyone has any questions on this, we do have the public safety fiscal analyst here as well who can answer them. If we have the language. We have the language to pass out.
So, members, that last item, as Ms. Boyd explained, just something that got inadvertently dropped out of the public safety bill. It was to eliminate some tails so they could meet their tails target, and it just got dropped. And so we're just picking it up. It's a technical fix rather than sticking it in the revisor's bill, which anyone's guess at the end of the day if that gets through before the clock strikes 12 on Monday. So we thought we'd pick it up in a bill that's more likely to pass. We'll see if this bill actually gets the votes to pass, but... Okay, Representative Hornstein, Mr. Chair, I'm available to respond to questions.
I have no questions, but we may have some from our side.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Now I'm relying on you to call people. Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just for clarification, you talked about this new target of being $59 million. Can you just help me understand $59 million what? Above the original base, below it, how did it move?
Representative Beard, above, we kind of came into this conference committee with a zero, a target of zero, as it were. We were bringing in some general fund dollars, mm-hmm. but it's 59. I don't know if my fiscal folks want to describe that more elegantly than I can. Mr. Lee?
Mr. Chair, Representative Beard, it's $59 million over the base. So not in addition to the House or the Senate bills. It's over the base for this biennium.
Okay. Thank you. And Mr. Chair, the $300 million in trunk highway bonding mm-hmm. for the Corridors of Commerce. If I remember right, in the bill, we have language that has the commissioner describe and construct how the Corridors of Commerce program would work, mm-hmm. if I remember right. The $300 million in trunk highway bonding, does that fit within MnDOT's 20% bonding limit number that they've kind of constructed for fiscal responsibility? We've heard that over the committee over the years. The payments
Excellent.
On that still comports with that 20% number?
The $300 million question.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Representative Beard brings it right up to the 20%.
That's what I need to know.
Yes.
Thank you.
I think the delayed effective date, folks should be aware. I mean, we need full sunshine delay. So there's a delayed, not a delayed effective date, but it doesn't kick in until fiscal year 2015. So, you know, we won't be doing any ribbon cuttings in the next year. Helps a little bit with the kind of that limit, and also helps us program some of those debt service dollars.
Yeah.
But, you know, everyone should also know that tight, you know, so hopefully we won't have any floods or anything like that, because we rely on the trunk highway funding if we have disasters and we need to get resources out quickly to fix these highways. Mm-hmm. So let's hope climate change, which some of us believe in and others don't, but something's happening and we're getting lots of disasters. Let's hope it kind of have a little reprieve for a while and we don't have disasters in the next year or two. Representative Hornstein?
Thank you.
There were still a couple of open items. The motor vehicle sales tax, I think you had some discussion with your...
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Those were the last two bullet points in the Senate offer yesterday. We did get, I wouldn't say approval, but we had some consultations with our tax chair, and mm-hmm. she's fine with those being carried. We were okay on the policy on the House side. We just wanted to procedurally make sure that everything was okay there.
All right. Well, at the proper time, then, we'll kind of build that into our motion to pick up those two items. All right. Did you want should we pause for a little bit and let you have some time with your...
I think there's enough in here that we probably should caucus a little with our House members, and I don't anticipate too much controversy, but if there's some questions, we would be able to ask those now and get back to you and let you know how we feel about the offer. So,
at some point, when don't we do that? Once you, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. We felt that there's enough in here that would merit us having our own House conversation to respond. But again, I don't see a lot of controversy here, but we want to at least talk it over. So
great. That's good. And then we're also waiting, like I said, word from on high about whether or not we can restore some of these nicks that we've made. I know that MnDOT in particular is interested in getting the Page and Hill cleanup back up to $1 million, a couple of other items. Hopefully we'll hear on that soon. I'll have your conversation, then we'll have some amendments that we need to take to get the bill in the shape that we need to get it into. A couple of items hanging around the edges that will send up the flagpole. See where that ends up, and we'll wrap this thing up. Members of the audience, we do intend to take testimony, good, bad, or ugly. Whatever you need to say to us, prepare yourselves for that, because we'll do that before we take the final vote.
And, Mr. Chair, that would be beyond any specific amendments, just to the overall bill.
Yes.
Overall conference committee report.
We've prepared a lot of discussion about other stuff. Why don't we... recess to the call of the chair. I'll bring it up. I have no way of knowing how long that will be, but I will aim to be back here in an hour, about 6 o'clock. I'm sorry, 7 o'clock. We are in recess.
I don't know if you want to.